Leah. Suddenly then I was pushed from behind and pulled by other hands into a boat, and we were on the water, crossing to safety. Anatoly clambered in behind me. I was stunned to see he had Ruth May over his shoulder, like a fresh-killed antelope. Is she okay? She's sleeping, I think. 20 seconds ago she was screaming. Your mother and Ada have gone ahead with Tata Boanda, he said. Praise God. Ada's all right? Ada's safe. Rachel is a demon. And your father is giving a sermon about Pharaoh's army and the plagues. Everyone is all right. I squatted low with my chin on my knees and watched my bare feet change slowly from dark auburn to speckled to white as the ants dispersed and forayed out into the bottom of the canoe. I could hardly feel the pain now. The feet I gazed at seemed to be someone else's. I gripped both sides of the boat, suddenly fearing I might vomit or pass out. When I could hold my head up again, I asked Anatoly quietly, "Do you think this is the hand of God?" He didn't answer. Ruth May whimpered in her sleep. I waited so long for his answer I finally decided he hadn't heard me. And then he simply said, "No." "Then why?" "The world can always give you reasons. No rain, not enough for the ants to eat, something like that. Nsongonia are always moving anyway. It is their nature, whether God cares or not." He sounded bitter against God, bitter with reason. The night felt like a dream rushing past me too fast, like a stream in a flood, and in this uncontrollable dream Anatoly was the one person who cared enough to help me. God didn't. I tried to see through the thick darkness that clung to the river, searching out the opposite shore. "God hates us," I said. "Don't blame God for what ants have to do. We all get hungry. Congolese people are not so different from Congolese ants. They have to storm over a village and eat other people alive? When they're pushed down long enough, they will rise up. If they bite you, they are trying to fix things in the only way they know how." The boat was crammed with people, but in the dark I couldn't recognize their hunched backs. Anatoly and I were speaking English, and it seemed no one else was there. "What does that mean, that you think it's right to hurt people? You know me as a man. I don't have to tell you what I am." What I knew was that Anatoly had helped us in more ways than my family could even keep track of. My sister was now sleeping on his shoulder. "But you believe in what they're doing to the whites, even if you won't do it yourself. You're saying you're a revolutionary like the Junmo Pro." The dark, strong arms of a stranger paddled us forward while I shuddered with cold dread. It occurred to me that I feared Anatola's anger more than anything. "Things are not so simple as you think," he finally said, sounding neither angry nor especially kind. "This is not a time to explain the history of Congolese revolutionary movements." "Ada says President Eisenhower has sent orders to kill Lumumba," I confessed suddenly. After holding in this rank mouthful of words for many days, I spilled them out into our ant-infested boat. "She heard it on Axel Root's radio. She says he's a mercenary killer working for the Americans." I waited for Anatoly to make any response at all to this, but he didn't. A coldness like water swelled inside my stomach. It couldn't possibly be true, yet Ada had always had the power to know things I don't. She showed me the conversation between Axel Root and another man, written down in her journal. Since then I've had no clear view of safety. Where is the easy land of ice cream cones and new Ked sneakers and We Like Ike, the country where I thought I knew the rules? Where is the place I can go home to? "Is it true, Anatoly?" The water moved under us and away, a cold, rhythmic rush. "I told you, this is not a time to talk." "I don't care. We're all going to die anyway, so I'll talk if I please." If he was even still listening, he must have considered me a tedious child, but I had so much fright in me I couldn't stop it from coming out. I longed for him to shush me, just tell me to be still and that I was good. "I want to be righteous, Anatoly, to know right from wrong, that's all. I want to live the right way and be redeemed." I was trembling so hard I feared my bones might break. No word. I shouted to make him hear. "Don't you believe me? When I walk through the valley of the shadow, the Lord is supposed to be with me, and he's not. Do you see him here in this boat?" The man or large woman whose back I'd been leaning against shifted slightly, then settled lower. I vowed not to speak another word. But Anatoly said suddenly, "Don't expect God's protection in places beyond God's dominion. It will only make you feel punished. I'm warning you. When things go badly, you will blame yourself." "What are you telling me?" "I am telling you what I'm telling you. Don't try to make life a mathematics problem with yourself in the center and everything coming out equal. When you are good, bad things can still happen, and if you are bad, you can still be lucky." I could see what he thought, that my faith in justice was childish, no more useful here than tires on a horse. I felt the breath of God grow cold on my skin. "We never should have come here," I said. "We're just fools that have gotten by so far on dumb luck. That's what you think, isn't it?" "I will not answer that." "Then you mean no, we shouldn't have come." "No, you shouldn't. But you are here, so yes, you should be here. There are more words in the world than no and yes." "You're the only one here who'll even talk to us, Anatoly. Nobody else cares about us, Anatoly." Tata Boanda is carrying your mother and sister in his boat. Tata Lekulu is rowing his boat with leaves stuffed in his ears while your father lectures him on loving the Lord. Nevertheless, Tata Lekulu is carrying him to safety. Did you know Mama Mwanza sometimes puts eggs from her own chickens under your hens when you aren't looking? How can you say no one cares about you? Mama Mwanza does that? How do you know? He didn't say. I was stupid not to have figured it out. Nelson sometimes found oranges and manioc and even meat in our kitchen house when nothing was there the night before. I suppose we believed so hard in God's providence that we just accepted miracles in our favor. You shouldn't have come here, Bean, but you are here, and nobody in Kilanga wants you to starve. They understand that white people make very troublesome ghosts. I pictured myself a ghost, bones and teeth. Rachel, a ghost with long white hair. Ada, a silent, staring ghost. Ruth May, a tree-climbing ghost, the squeeze of a small hand on your arm. My father was not a ghost. He was God with his back turned, hands clasped behind him, and fierce eyes on the clouds. God had turned his back and was walking away. Quietly I began to cry, and everything inside me came out through my eyes. Anatoly, Anatoly, I whispered. I'm scared to death of what's happening, and nobody here will talk to me. You're the only one. I repeated his name because it took the place of prayer. Anatoly's name anchored me to the earth, the water, the skin that held me in like a jar of water. I was a ghost in a jar. I love you, Anatoly. Leah, don't ever say that again. I never will. We arrived at the opposite shore. Someone's rescued hen fluttered up to the bow of our boat and strutted placidly along the gunwale, its delicate wattles shaking as it plucked up ants. For the first time that night, I thought of our poor chickens shut up for the night in their coop. I pictured their bones laid clean and white in a pile on top of the eggs. 2 days later, when the rebel army of tiny soldiers had passed through Kilanga and we could go home again, that is exactly how we found our hens. I was surprised that their dislocated skeletons looked just the way I had imagined them. This is what I must have learned the night God turned his back on me, how to foretell the future in chicken bones.